Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
I'm disappointed. I said I was disappointed.
You've been given far more than any other state in this country.
Probably more than half of all New Yorkers will be infected with this disease.
I just think these numbers right now are not relevant.
You have a problem.
Why do you keep shouting in my ear? I don't understand.
So nothing is going to anybody without conditions.
It's very, very painful dealing with the Democrats.
Yeah, that's an understatement, isn't it? Good Friday morning, everybody. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you're all with us. Ladies, how are you this morning?
Pretty good.
Great. Good morning.
Glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that.
How are you?
Am I coming in loud and clear?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm hearing a little interference here on my end. I'll just tell you, we're all adjusting to this new reality of being separate, and all of it depends on a box about the size of my small iPad.
And so
occasionally,
far, so
I worry
good.
About that. Yeah,
so
I know, far, so I know, yeah. I know. Most people at home probably can't tell the difference, but I can. So there you go. That's good. So hey, you know what? I just have to point this out since it's 5 a.m. and we're up. And my wife is up. I have to wish her a happy anniversary. How about that?
Aw, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
I mean, what better day could she have than to have me home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
What a lucky lady.
I can hear her guffawing in the next room.
Why right is now. She up?
She gets up early. I don't know what, there's something, she on her side of the family, they wake up at like 4 a.m.
Wow.
Regularly. I don't get it, but. I didn't get that gene, but I did get that job. So here I am. How are you?
How many years today?
27 years ago.
Wow.
Very
was the luckiest day of my life. So
yes,
how about that? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's
that's
perfect.
Awesome. Congrats.
It's great. Now she gets to spend all day with me and eat carry out for dinner tonight. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah. Doesn't get much
a nice
better.
Romantic dinner.
Nice romantic
to
dinner.
The house.
Surrounded by the towheads who are
and, yeah.
confined to the house. And yeah, should be nice. Yeah, it'll be good. We'll have a good time, though. I'm guessing some people are probably up this morning. I saw Annie Fry post a picture on Facebook of probably hail the size of a nickel that had hit her house over in the Metro East. I'm guessing a lot of people probably heard that this morning.
Yeah, I missed it.
Yeah, it didn't happen by me either.
I don't know. We're going to have to consult the weather.
But
the
St.
Weather
Charles had a lot
here.
Of hail this morning, apparently. So a couple of spots hit it.
I'll have to tell this on her because she's in there listening right now. But I'm sitting here yesterday doing the show. It's I don't know what 8:30 in the morning, and my wife comes by in her jogging outfit, and she's getting ready to go outside, and I kind of waved at her, and I didn't think twice about it. And you know, I listen to Dave Murray's forecast, but it's kind of in the background, and I'm doing other things, and I'm not paying a lot of attention, and I hadn't looked at the radar. And all of a sudden, about 10 minutes later, I look outside and it's pouring rain. And I still didn't connect the fact that my wife had left the house 10 minutes earlier to go jogging.
Yikes.
She comes back in drenched and she said, how come you didn't tell me it was going to rain? And I'm like, and then I saw on social media that some people were giving Murray a little bit of grief for, you know, not specifically telling them that a rain shower might drop upon them yesterday. So I noticed this morning he's calling it a rather active period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just so you know.
Fair. Last night was beautiful, though.
Yeah,
oh,
it was
wasn't
a really nice evening.
Out. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. We got outside. We took a walk in the neighborhood. There's a ballpark not far from our house. We walked back in there, and it was so beautiful. And then I come back, and I'm reading a few stories for the show this morning, and I see where the mayor of Chicago is threatening to, after a warning, ticket you for $500 if she finds that you're running too far from your house, or number two, jail you.
Unreal.
even though they're releasing people from jails out of fear of too many of them contracting coronavirus, if you're an innocent citizen who is one of these people addicted to jogging and you run a 5K from your house, you might get arrested in Chicago.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's wild.
Kind of where we are. It's weird.
Well, people are, you know, I keep reading that people want our governor, want Governor Parson to basically shut down the state and do the lockdown for the state. I'm like, because other states have done it. I'm like, well, if that's your only reason, we need a little bit more, because I get it. The different areas of the state are impacted more than others. So why do the ones that maybe don't have any cases or it's limited, why do they have to shut down? Why can't they do business?
True.
Why can't it be on a county basis? Well, like, what's the problem with that?
And it seems like the city's already done that. So, like, the more populated areas are doing
have done
it themselves.
It. Yeah.
So, why? Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, also, it's sort of a microcosm of what's going on across the country, right?
Yeah. And I don't know about anybody else and if I'm just irresponsible, but I don't think living in Illinois where it is supposed to be mandatory, I don't think that it's really changed a whole lot. I think the people that were staying in, and the rest of us are still going to work. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, that's probably true. At some point, you cannot dictate what people are going to do. Americans are going to respond negatively to that. It's at some level, short of declaring martial law, at which point that would set off an entirely different set of panic.
Oh, gosh,
so,
yes.
You know, hopefully people are just taking the advice, limiting their contact with other folks, staying in as much as they can, except when you have to go to the grocery store in search of some Charmin.
Good luck.
I still haven't found any. Now we're not hurting here.
I know,
but
I haven't been looking, but I really think I've only been to the store once kind of during this whole time. Mm-hmm. And the one time I was there, they didn't have any, and I'm thankful I didn't need it, and I still don't, but I'll be hitting the store today, so I'm going to check again.
Fingers crossed.
If you want to spread some humor the next time at your store, just stop an employee and ask them if there's any toilet paper. And look at the expression on their face after they ask
like,
that
are
question.
Are you kidding me?
The 500th time. No. Just walk over to aisle two and look for yourself. Okay.
Yep. Stop all asking right. me.
I can do that. That's good. All right. A quick update here if you're not paying attention. The House is supposed to vote today on the stimulus bill. One dude has announced he won't approve it. And because of that, they're going to have to drag at least 218 members of the House back to Washington, make them all go into that chamber together and vote. And the world is pretty upset. This guy happens to be a Republican. It's not completely clear why he's refusing to vote yes on this, but under unanimous consent rules, a single dissenter can prevent that from happening. So that's where all the focus of the media is this morning. This guy's name is Thomas Massey. He's from a northern Kentucky somewhere, and everybody's trying to track him down and figure out what he's so mad about. And nobody has figured that out yet. So we're going to talk about that, and we will get to your phone calls as well. We've got our local hero spotlight today. We're still encouraging you to nominate people, right? Mm-hmm. I know that you know someone who's on the front lines of this healthcare fight, right? They're heroes, just like our police officers and our military members. Nominate them. Go to 971talk.com/Cox. Enter their name, and every Friday we're going to pick a different local hero, and today's the day. So we'll do that a little later in the show in the 6 o'clock hour. Right now, let me get to a quick break.
Most of these will be direct deposits, so we call them checks in the mail, but most of them will be direct deposits. It'll be within 3 weeks.
And I'm profoundly grateful that both parties came together to provide relief for American workers and families in this hour of need.
Well, maybe not so fast. There's Steve Mnuchin was the first voice you heard there, in case you didn't recognize it, talking about the fact that we're going to get these stimulus checks out into your electronic deposit or into your mailbox within 3 weeks. Still not clear to me how they're going to get the money to small businesses, although I suspect through the Small Business Administration, which isn't maybe not a lot of help to, you know, one and two man operations who have no idea how to access that. So I think they're going to have to be a little more clear on exactly how that's going to work. I don't know. But here's what I do know. There's always got to be that guy. And you know, in this particular case, there are things in here I'm not happy about. I don't understand why the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C. needed $25 million. I don't understand why the House of Representatives needed extra funding to get through this. There are things I don't like. But until we have Republican control of the, you know, a supermajority situation in Washington like we have in Missouri, there has to be some give and take. And as ridiculous as some of the things are that the left has demanded in this bill, it could have been a lot worse. And at the end of the day, we do have to salvage the GDP in this country. We have to. You know, you heard somebody say the other day, it might have been Rachel Gresler, we're on the verge of, what, 3.3 million unemployment claims? This could get into a deep recession if we don't do something to kickstart the economy once people start going to restaurants again and doing things that they do every day in their normal lives, buying cars and, you know, whatever you're going to do. People have to have the confidence to go out and do that. That's what this bill is going to do. I'm not happy with everything in it. I'm certainly not happy with the fact that it spikes the U.S. debt. We don't have the money to do that. You or I could never do this. If we got in some crisis in our personal lives, we couldn't just start spending money we didn't have, because eventually we'd go bankrupt or your credit would get cut. Not the United States government. They've got the money tree. They go out and shake it, and they hand out $6,000 to every man, woman, and child in America. But I'm a realist, and this representative from Northern Kentucky is a guy named Thomas Massey. I don't know anything about him. He went on a radio station in Cincinnati called WKRC. And yes, in case you're wondering, because I grew up there, that is the radio station that they based WKRP on all those years ago. 55 WKRC radio. Thursday morning, he told them he plans to reject the measure, which he says is due to his concerns over spiking the national debt. He says if it were just about helping people to get more unemployment benefits to get through this calamity that, frankly, the governors have wrought on the people, then I could be for it. But this is $2 trillion. This won't go to the men and women and children. So if you have a family of five, this spending bill represents $30,000 of additional U.S. national debt because there is no plan to pay for it. Huh. I understand his frustration. I really do. But unless he's trying to make a name for himself to run for some higher office, this is probably not the time.
Well, because now they have to bring everybody back, and aren't some of these people quarantined? Is that how long? So it's like, are you waiting another 2 weeks or so for some of this?
No. Okay. No, here's what they'll do. They need 218 people, which is what the Democrats have in the House, to get their majority out of the 435 would have to come back and vote. That can be any combination of Republicans and Democrats. Gotcha. And people like Ann Wagner, who are quarantined, I don't know when her quarantine is up, they wouldn't be able to go back. So somebody else would have to, I mean, Ann wouldn't be able to vote on this, I don't think. She could correct me on that. But anyway, hey, we'll keep talking about this. We're going to get to a quick break here and let you hear from the man, Chris Wallace of Fox News Sunday, when we come back.
up to $250 billion in expanded unemployment benefits. The average worker who has lost his or her job will receive 100% of their salary for up to 4 full months.
Chris Wallace of Fox News Sunday this morning. And Chris, I guess that's just in time because the unemployment numbers have hit us, huh?
Yeah, 3 million, which is by multiples the highest in history. I mean, higher than the Great Depression. Look, this is I keep saying to my kids and to friends and stuff, this is a long haul. This isn't this is World War II in the sense that it's something we're going to be with for a while. I'm not saying it's going to be 3 years or 4 years, but this is going to be a long public health crisis and then an even longer economic crisis. And we're just, you know, pace yourself. And this is going to take a while.
Yeah, we're all working remotely. I imagine you guys are doing that at Fox as well. Thank goodness for the double box, huh?
Yes. Indeed. No, it's very different. I'm talking to you from home, and we've been advised not to go into work if we don't have to. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because, you know, on the one hand, what you really want to do in this situation is hug your family and be with your friends. And, of course, that's exactly what you can't do in this time. So thank God for double boxes and thank God for FaceTime. I've been doing a lot of both.
Yeah, true. We're broadcasting. I'm broadcasting from my home office as well today, and we're fortunate to have jobs where we can do that. For the people that don't, you know, I had Roy Blunt on. Of course, he's on the Appropriations Committee. He's looking at this thing, and he said there are things in there I don't like, but at least we got it passed, and now we're back to waiting on Nancy Pelosi.
They'll pass it. I mean, Pelosi has signed on to this bill. I think actually the biggest problem is going to be to see whether any Republican, because they really, really, and understandably so, the members of Congress do not want to come back. Obviously, there is a threat to their health in flying back from all over the country and then all congregating together in the House. So the hope is that they can either pass this by unanimous consent or by a voice vote. There are some Republicans who are saying, no, we want to take a look and debate it. And, you know, you can fully understand that in the sense that it's $2+ trillion. And, you know, I'm sure there are things in there, there always are, that aren't going to stand up to the light of day. I'm just not sure that at this point we have the time to do that. And, you know, if some extra money gets spent or gets spent in a slightly wrong way, I mean, obviously it's not what you prefer, but it may be kind of what we have to do in this particular time. I will say, you know, you talk about the economic impact. I really worry about small businesses. I mean, just to give you a little example, I was talking to the guy who cuts my hair. He has a small barbershop. And you know, but he's got a payroll and of thousands of dollars each week. And he's worried about, you know, one, is there money in here so I can keep these people employed? Am I going to be able to, you know, how do I get that money? Because that's complicated, you know, to go through the federal government. And how quickly am I going to get that money? Because he said, I can't go a few weeks paying out thousands and thousands of dollars and not be reimbursed for it. And you just know that in small businesses and restaurants and bars and hair stylists and all of that all around the country, there are a lot of these people who really, you know, work from week to week and, you know, want to keep people employed, want to keep their businesses going, but are worried about going into bankruptcy.
I took a phone call with a gentleman who described the exact same problem, runs a small machine shop, doesn't employ but one or two people, has no idea. He said he needs now, not in 3 weeks, and doesn't even know where to begin and whether or not this answers that question. So I'm glad you brought that up. There have got to be tons of people out there just like these two individuals that have those same questions, and I don't know where they get them answered quickly.
No, I don't, and they don't. No. I mean, they've been told the Small Business Administration, but how do you even go about that? I mean, I guess you go to SBA.com or whatever the Small Business Administration website is, or .gov. But, you know, it's pretty daunting. And as you say, you know, these aren't people who have huge cash reserves and, well, I'll go into debt for a month and pay all my workers, and then I'll get reimbursed at some point. That, a lot of them can't afford to do that. And as we all know, small business is the real driver, the real generator of this economy, and you know, most of the jobs. So if those folks I guess they can go on unemployment insurance, the workers, but you worry about the people who run the businesses, whether they can stay in business for the month or two, whatever it's going to be, we hope, until things ease up. And at that point, you want them to still be in business, because if they go bankrupt, then, not only them, but the people that work for them are all at a tremendous loss.
Yeah, true. Chris Wallace, my guest this morning from Fox News Sunday. You know, everything's been dominated by coronavirus coverage, which is understandable. The biggest story we're not talking about these days is the presidential race. And I wanted to play you a bite from Joe Biden and then get your reaction. Go to cut 14, please.
My focus is just dealing with this crisis right now. I haven't thought about any more debates. I think we've had enough debates. I think we should get on with this.
Joe Biden's just ready to put this behind him and get on to running for president. What's your reaction to sort of the way the Biden campaign has handled this so far? I've seen, again, a number of gaffes on his part, even from his home office or wherever he's broadcasting from.
Yeah. Look, I fully understand his argument. We've had enough debates. I think they probably have had enough debates, and I fully understand Bernie Sanders has the right to stay in it, but I don't know, what have they had, either 10 or 11 or 12 rounds of debates? It certainly appears that he's going to, that he's got the nomination. What do they say about poker hands? I'm going to mess this up, but I'm sure you folks know what I mean, where, the winners are chatting and the losers cry deal. You've got that Bernie Sanders obviously wants another debate in the hopes that it'll upset the race. But if I'm Joe Biden, why would I want to sit down and have a debate with Bernie Sanders? Because the way it's going now, I'm going to sweep for the nomination. In terms of how he's handling it, it's awfully hard. The fact is that the issue, the coronavirus, the president's response to the issue soaks up all the attention. Yes. Have there been some gaffes on his part? Yes. Have there been some gaffes on the president's part? Yes. My guess is that people just aren't paying attention to the election now. Let's hope that we get this behind us in the next, my sort of wish list is by July 4th. It'd be a great Independence Day that we kind of come out from under. And I don't know, I don't base that on anything except hope. But it does seem that we're talking about a 2 or 3 month curve before things maybe not end, but begin to lighten up a lot. And then there'll be plenty of time, more than enough time, to talk about the presidential race. And one of the things I was reading today is that Biden is focusing on who his vice president is going to be. And it appears most likely it's going to be, well, he has said flatly it's going to be a woman, most likely one of the women who ran against him. So I think we're really looking at Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris and Amy Klobuchar. But there'll be plenty of time to talk about that.
True. And I guess that maybe by Sunday you're going to have an answer as to whether or not this bill gets passed as well, right?
Well, it sure appears it is. And excuse me, we're asking, we would love to get Mnuchin or Kudlow or one of those top people to talk about it, because that at this point, that's the health crisis is the biggest job. And we're going to have a terrific public health expert from Johns Hopkins University on. We're also going to have the governor of Maryland on, Larry Hogan. And, this whole question of how long do you shut down for? I'm curious. I don't know. Is Missouri under a shutdown order?
Missouri is not yet. Illinois is. Missouri, we're sheltering at home in some of the big cities, but we're not under a stay at home order.
Okay. Maryland is. And, so we'll be talking to him about that. And the question is to, can you begin to restart the economy? I mean, and the answer is you don't know and I don't know. There are some people who say there are some areas that are not as significantly affected and you could begin to take your, loosen the reins and let people go back out. And then there are some people who say, boy, you do that and you're going to just increase the chances for spread and lengthen the amount of time that we're going to be dealing with this coronavirus. We'll be talking about that with the governor of Maryland. But I agree that the big issue is the bill, what it does, what it's going to do for the economy. Interestingly enough, people are saying this is not a stimulus bill. Don't think of it that way. It's not going to boost the economy. It's really like a disaster relief bill. It's a bill to tide people over like they would be in a hurricane, you know, to keep them employed and to keep them or to keep them at least with money until a hard hit area, in this case, much of the country, gets back on its feet.
Let's hope it works. And Chris, we'll be listening on Sunday. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Mark.
You knew somebody had to do it, so these guys did it. That's pretty good.
That is what the world needed.
Another reminder to wash your hands.
Right now.
If you're still not doing it right, everybody.
Just in case you didn't realize what you need to do, you need to wash your hands. So that's pretty good. I like that one. Because I'm a Beatles fan, so that's okay. That makes me happy.
There are a lot of those out there.
All right.
A lot of them Beatles fans.
That's good. That's a pretty funny one. You know, I mentioned earlier there was some hail overnight, and it didn't affect West St. Louis County. I can tell you that, that I'm aware of, or I slept through one of the two. I'm seeing lots of comments from people this morning who did wake up because of that. And I think Annie Fry was one of them. We're going to get her on here this morning in the 7 o'clock hour. And hopefully her new Pacifica she talks about all the time was undercover. I hope.
I hope so, too.
But I did have one of a friend over in the Metro East who told me that a lot of cars over in the Edwardsville area got hit by them. By this, he sent me a picture holding some of these hail nuggets in his hand, and they look just slightly. Some of these, maybe the guy's got, I don't know how big his hands are. These look like they could be maybe slightly smaller than golf balls. I mean, these are pretty significant chunks of ice that fell, and I'm guessing there'll be a lot of people with some hail damage claims over in the Metro East and maybe North County this morning.
Well, we were watching Big Fox in the studio here, and they were covering Kansas City hail, so I guess it was pretty bad in Kansas City as well. Or they just really needed something to talk
on the
about
radar.
Besides
anything
coronavirus.
Well, and it's funny too with this, like, hail is obnoxious and it's a bothersome. But now, with the given the time we're in, it seems very eerie to get weather like hail or that random snowstorm on Sunday.
Yeah.
It holds this whole new weight right now. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, everybody's getting used to that. I mean, people are looking for things just to distract them, you know, I think as much as anything. And maybe we should all turn on the Weather Channel for a while and just ignore what's going on and try to distract ourselves with that. I love my mother dearly. One thing she'll do, though, is when she lived out of state, she would call me up and say, is it raining out there? And I'm like, how do you know that? And apparently one of her things was like watching the Weather Channel. I'm like, okay, well, I don't just sit around and watch the Weather Channel. I'm usually watching something related to the news, but I guess some people do that. It would be a good distraction anyway, right?
I mean, some people really do pay attention to the weather. I don't know why. I mean, it's a hobby. And then we can see how wrong the predictions are.
Hey. Dave Murray resembles that remark. Thank you. He does not appreciate that at all. All right, coming up the next hour, we've got we'll check in on business for you. We'll get to your phone calls at 314-241-9797, plus our local hero spotlight. You're going to love the person we're spotlighting today. It's all coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.